The college campus presents both the sea of temptation and a tremendous opportunity for evangelization. I'm Brian Patrick, and we're looking at Christian life in college with Benedictine College student Brock Martin, this time on Crossing the Goal. We're kicking off our show on Christian life in college here on Crossing the Goal. Meet our Crossing the Goal team, the Vice President of Renewal Ministries, Peter Herbeck, Founder and President of Focus, Fellowship of Catholic University Students, Curtis Martin, and former NFL All-Pro wide receiver and NFL coach, Danny Abramowitz. Curtis, it's great to have your son Brock on the show with us today.
Now, this is going to be a special time, Brian. I mean, I am proud about many things that God has done in my life, not my role in it, but what God's done around me. And one of the things I'm most proud of is my son Brock. It's going to be great to have him on the program.
Yeah, I'm glad to hear from him, too. Today we're talking about campus life, but when you talk about universities today, they're battlegrounds. There's a battlegrounds of ideas, but it's a place of often of intense spiritual warfare. It's a mission field. It provides a great challenge for young people, for young Catholic people, but it also is a time of great opportunity for them to be able to engage the Lord's mission right in the heart of where the culture war maybe is most intense in our time.
And hopefully this show will show you how a father's influence on a son in the areas of discipline and love will bear fruits further down the path. It's not immediate all the time, it's down the road, and I'm really looking forward to this show.
All right, Peter and Curtis will introduce us to Curtis's son, Brock, in the game plan next.
Welcome back to Crossing the Goal. I'm Peter Herbeck. We're here in the game plan, here again with Curtis Martin, my partner in crime here. But it's my great delight to be able to introduce to you Brock Martin. Brock's the eldest of eight in the Martin clan. Curtis and his lovely wife, Michael Ann, and the beautiful family they have. Welcome, Brock.
Great to have you.
I really appreciate it.
You bet.
It's a great honor to be here today.
Tell us a little bit about you.
Well, as you said, my name is Brock Martin. I'm 21 years old and a junior at Benedictine College in Atchison, Kansas. I'm currently studying theology and philosophy, and see where that takes me.
Wow, theology and philosophy, that sounds like a full plate.
Yeah, it's not easy all the time, that's for sure.
What year are you?
Junior.
You're a junior. Yeah. Okay. All right. We're going to talk about the college campus life. Before we do, let's talk a little bit about the Martins and camp life at the Martin household. And I know, Curtis, you and Mike Land raised those eight kids, and you're in the process of doing that, but raised them in a way that would prepare them for any kind of challenge they're going to face. What were some of the priorities and the patterns of life you guys had in your family?
And I would say, first of all, you know, Brock knows better than anybody. We tried to raise them. I mean, it's been a learning experience. I think you learn so much. And from the very beginning, Mike Land and I really wanted to try to have a strong Catholic home. And so we were very committed to trying to figure out, you know, let's not let too much of the media, the worldly media in. Let's try to make sure that our home brings some glory to God and in the way that we behave. We're blessed with other kids. Brock's the eldest, but he's got lots of younger brothers and one younger sister to love on. And so, but I think trying to find those habits of trying to live out the daily rosary and getting to Mass as often as we could. And we struggled sometimes to do that.
Sure.
But to setting a pattern that would eventually hopefully lead them to be able to choose Christ for their own.
So, Brock, what was it like to grow up in a family whose both parents had their game face on from a Catholic point of view, and they were serious about raising you that
way? Yeah, no, totally. It was tough. I can definitely, I definitely felt the desire to be different. And you know, as kids growing up, that was a little tough because we have friends who are watching videos and they're out there playing video games that we're not allowed to play, and they're staying out later than we're allowed to stay out, and they're not going to daily Mass with their family, they're not praying the rosary, and that was tough. I mean, we definitely felt like we were a little bit different.
Was it tough all along, basically, or was it more in teen years? What was it like?
By the time I was later on in high school, I was pretty athletic, and so, you know, my friends couldn't really give me a whole lot, you know, opposed to that. But, you know, it was definitely tough.
Making your own place, you gained some confidence, so it didn't bother you quite as much?
Yeah, exactly.
There were times you felt a little bit like we were a little Catholic Amish, though.
That's right. In the big van coming along.
That's right.
You didn't have horses, but you had a van, all right?
Exactly.
That's great. Now, when did you start to, I mean, you went off to college. You made a decision to go off to college. And what was that like, that experience as you
It was awesome. Yeah, no, I think by the time I got to college, I was able to really look back at the way I was raised and to appreciate it for the first time. I couldn't really appreciate it when I was in high school because I was still in the thick of it. And I still felt, you know, the hand on top of me telling me what I could and couldn't do. But by the time I got to, by the time I got to college, though, I really was able to look back and kind of say, all right, maybe mom and dad knew what they were doing.
Okay, so you went in, you gained some confidence, brought with you what you had, but how did you experience it as you first got there? What kind of things did you encounter at the college?
Totally. Challenges? No, it was tough. Initially at college, the college campus offers a lot of really interesting things. And I think, you know, Benedictine College has provided a really cool opportunity for me to learn theology and philosophy. And through those intro to philosophy classes, you really kind of see human nature in a new light. Mm-hmm. And I started learning some things just about how we're all ordered to happiness. Every action we pursue is a desire for us to be ultimately happy. What's dangerous about college is that there's a lot of things that the college campus offers that taste like happiness, and they actually do give you a little bit of happiness. Yeah. So whether it's drinking and girls, staying out late, not doing your homework, drugs, all these things, they actually give us a little taste of happiness. Mm-hmm. And so first semester of college, I was great. I really wanted to find my faith for myself. Mm-hmm. But by the time second semester rolled around, I was hanging out with guys. We were playing basketball and stuff. And, you know, I was just generally mediocre. And and so I think college definitely kind of trapped me a little bit when I first got there. So
you got yourself in a bit of a social milieu that was leading in another direction?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. And, you know, it wasn't like I was off, you know, committing these horrible sins or whatever, but it's just general mediocrity. I wasn't the person I wanted to be when I thought I was leaving for college.
When you were there, were you experienced? Would you at night when you go home, lay down, and you say, you know, I'm not living the way I want to live? Did you have some of that struggle going on inside at the time, or not really?
Looking back, I can really notice that it was kind of festering and building up, but it really culminated when my 20th birthday last year, I was talking to my grandfather, who was about to turn 80 later that year, and he was talking about how lucky he felt that he's 80 years old and this fabulous life he's able to look back on. Yeah. And how lucky he was. And I realized I'm 20 and I'm a quarter of the way there, and I'm nowhere near the person I want to be.
Yeah.
And I really felt that mediocrity, and I realized I wasn't happy. And I think that was because I was chasing onto these little things that were giving me happiness, but it was hard for me to let go, to chase after something that was going to make me even more happy.
Yeah. So you, was it fearful to make that decision?
Oh, it was tough. Yeah, let me tell you about it. It was real tough.
Yeah. Well, we're going to be able to talk a little bit more about that in the Ren Zone. I know you have a lot more to say about it. But, Curtis, I just wanted to ask you a simple question. How much of that did you notice in Curtis, in Brock, as you were passing? He was passing through these phases.
We had great, great times, and then we had some tough times. I think, you know, as the eldest son, it's the first time we've ever raised an adolescent child, and so we were kind of walking through. And as somebody said, it's kind of like you're paddling along in a river, and all of a sudden, adolescence hits, and now you're in the white water. And I think what we realize is that the culture was much more effective at grabbing Brock's heart and in all of our hearts than we had originally anticipated. We thought, gosh, we've done a good job. We've kind of set up the safety nets. And the safety nets went away in some ways. But because of the decisions Brock made about where to go to school, because of the relationships he's had with both sets of grandparents and other great people in his life, we've been able to watch God work in Brock's life in a really wonderful way.
Well, let's talk about that in the Ren Zone, how God's been working in your life. Brian?
Sounds like a good deal.
All right, thanks a lot, guys. I don't know, Coach, could be tough in the Red Zone. They've recruited some new young talent. There's no way in God's green earth that I would ever get me to do that when I was that age. Good job, Brock. Yeah, we're going to get to know Brock a little bit better in the Red Zone next. We've moved into the Red Zone here on Crossing the Goal with our special guest, Brock Martin. And Brock, you left us sitting on the edge of our seat. Okay, you're living this kind of relatively wild or mediocre college life. Yeah. What happened?
Well, like I said, I really started to feel that I wasn't happy inside. I wasn't who I wanted to be when I was a little kid. And maybe it was just the perfect storm and things just happened the way they did. But the next semester, I actually went to Florence, Italy with a group of about 40 students from Benedictine for the semester. And I think that environment really, really fostered these feelings that I had inside of me. I can vividly remember being in Assisi and just thinking about St. Francis and his life and just being blown away by, there was a painting of him at his death and how happy he looked. And this, he's about to die, and you wouldn't have ever expected someone to be so happy when they're about to die. And it really hit me that it was his willingness to say yes to what God wanted him to do that gave him that look on his face. And man, I'll tell you, that put me on my back. I couldn't stop thinking about it. Yeah. And so it really hit me, wow, the reason I'm not happy is because I'm not letting God take the wheel. I'm not letting Jesus tell me what he wants me to do and following after it. And so the whole rest of the couple months in Italy was really, really on my heart, and things started changing. So,
what kind of decisions did you make to have that change happen?
No, totally. First and foremost, I was in a relationship with a girl, and I think more than anything, she it's not like she was a bad influence on me, but she kept me from really excelling because I was mediocre. I felt like I was perfect. There's nothing I needed to do to get better because I was always perfect. And so first and foremost, I knew that had to go. So yeah. I broke up with this girl, and it was tough. We'd been dating for 3 years.
Yeah.
And that was really tough. Secondly, I joined a Focus Bible study and became a student leader at Benedictine. Mm-hmm. And with that comes a discipleship relationship. And so I have a mentor who's my discipler, Kenny mm-hmm. Wachter, Benedictine mm-hmm. College. And mm-hmm. It's more than just him telling me what I can and can't do, but it's really a lifelong friend that he'll be there mm-hmm.
yeah,
for the rest
great.
Of my life. And so those two things, and I think just generally changing, you know, who I spend my time with, people that are going to bring me up as opposed to that are going to tempt me.
Yeah, the pack you run with makes a difference.
Oh, exactly.
It makes a big difference.
Huge,
yeah.
huge deal.
It looks like Benedictine was the right choice for you, but it was not easy because Focus, I would think, with your dad's influence on the campus, you had a little struggle with that too, huh?
Oh, Danny, you're hitting the nail on the head. I did not want to go to Benedictine at first. I went to a small high school, and so I'd always kind of had aspirations of going to a bigger college. But mom and dad, you know, kept poking me, telling me, come on, Benedictine, just give Benedictine.
And how
they convince you?
Oh yeah, trust me. He ended up saying, okay, fine, you don't want to go to Benedictine. If you do, I'll buy you a car. At that point, I couldn't refuse any longer. So I decided I'd try Benedictine out. But you're right, I didn't really want to. I felt like there was going to be this immediate shadow over me, this stigma, you know. You're Curtis Martin's son. This is where Focus started. And so it was going to be, I knew it was going to be in for a tough run. But it actually hasn't been anywhere near as bad as I had initially envisioned. So
what was that like from your side, Curtis?
You know, it was the same part. We realized through adolescence that what the saying everybody says, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make him drink. And you get to the point, and we were so proud of so many things that Brock was doing. But we also had realized that the adolescent years had been tougher on him than we had hoped. And we wanted to get him to a good place. And there's a certain point where I think in all humility as a parent, you realize, I actually can't do this. So we were praying pretty hard to Our Lady, but we just thought, you know, there's three fundamental principles when it comes to making a decision about college. And that is there an academic game plan? Is this a school that'll get you where you want to go? Why go to college if you can't get the degree you need? And a lot of people think about that one. The second one is there a financial game plan? Are there student loans or work study that will allow you to get through school without huge debt? Less people think about that one. And then is there a spiritual game plan? Is there a great Catholic Newman Center or a great Catholic college where you're going to be surrounded by people who, if you choose, would make it easier to follow? And that's a question very few parents, unfortunately, ask. And so we were kind of going after those three. Benedictine was one of our favorites. We love it there. There were a few other options. We thought, you know, if you don't want to go there, very aware that, unfortunately, in some ways, I cast a very broad shadow, which is not a weight crack on myself, but I didn't want Brock to feel that pressure. Wanted him to be free to pursue Christ on Christ's own terms.
Yeah,
Brock, you know, you were lucky to go, fortunate to be at a Catholic university, but there's a lot of Catholics on secular universities. What would you tell them out there, someone struggling, trying to do the right Christian walk on a campus in a secular setting?
No, totally. First and foremost, I would say you really need to stress the power of a decision. When you desire something and you decide and you choose that, if you really honor and respect yourself and that you have this power within you to decide something, it's something that really, it's actually a lot more powerful than you may think of initially. And so when you make a decision to change your life, you have to be willing to follow the ramifications of that. And that, you know, it may be you don't hang out with the same people or you start doing different things, whether it's daily mass, daily prayer, spiritual direction, someone like Kenny for myself, who's a one-on-one mentor who I meet with every week. Those type of things, I don't think it just has to be at a Catholic college. Those things exist everywhere. And so that would be my first initial advice to someone who's really struggling with trying to take their faith more seriously.
Because you've got counsel, you can make a decision to the good or to the, you know, down the wrong path.
Totally.
So there's consequences to your decision making, right?
Exactly.
It's a battle plan, really. What you're talking about is having a good strategy and a battle plan for the conflict that you're in. Now, you said something to us yesterday about how you were confident about, even though Benedictine was a little difficult, but you were confident about your father's decision to help lead you there because of something happened earlier in your life, I think was really powerful.
No, totally. I didn't want to go to Benedictine in my heart, but I knew that mom and dad were looking out for me. And that's because one specific event really encapsulates everything that I was feeling at that time. When I was a sophomore in high school, my world kind of came crashing down. I was wrapped up in a lot of stuff that young guys these days are wrapped up with, whether it be pornography or, you know, impure relationship with girls and just general, like I said, I was living in sin. And I hadn't had an honest, candid conversation with mom and dad in probably 2 years. They just didn't know me. And every time we did talk, I'd lie to them. And, you know, it was fine. So they didn't really know me. But like I said, my sophomore year, everything kind of came crashing down. I was at a party. Someone ended up calling somebody else's mom and the school found out. Anyways, mom and dad found out, and dad had been seeing some things on the computer, so kind of started to put two and two together. But anyways, this one day, like I said, they just came down, they found out everything, and I was completely exposed, and I had nothing left. And that was a really tough day. I mean, you can ask dad. It was, there were a lot of tears.
A lot of drama.
It was pretty tough. But that night, he told me that he loved me, and he was proud of me. And to really feel someone be proud of you, when they know the real you and you don't feel worthy of being proud of, that's a pretty deep feeling. And so while in my head, in my heart, I really didn't think Benedictine was the best place for me, I knew mom and dad had, they were in my corner and they had my back. And so I trusted that if they really thought this was the place for me, that I'd listen to them and I'd follow through with it.
Now you are discerning a vocation. You want to share a little bit about that?
Totally. Yes, I am discerning a vocation, as I think every young guy should. If you're Catholic, you got to be willing to listen to Christ's call. And first and foremost, this desire to kind of figure out what God wanted me to do really started when I was back in Italy. And when I was, like I said, with St. Francis and hearing his story and how willing he was to say yes to Christ's call. I think that follows through that if he wants me to be a priest, if I want to be the happiest I can be, if he calls me to be a priest, I got to say yes to that. And just like the college situation, if it's not what's in my head, not what's in my heart, but I trust that God's actually in my corner and he's got my back, why would I not say yes to it? Why would I not at least think about it? And so for me right now, it's sitting back and saying, all right, God, is this what you want me to do? Because if it is, I will say yes.
Now, and didn't you already apply to the seminary?
Yeah, I did. The feeling was so strong and so intense that right when I got home from Italy, the first thing I did is I had a meeting with Archbishop Chaput in Denver and told him I was thinking about applying to the seminary. Wasn't sure if I was going or not, but I wanted to keep the door open. So at that point, I applied, and I had a conversation with Dad and told him, if they accept me, I'm going. But I was positive I was accepted. I mean, I was getting ready to go shopping for the cassock. I was pretty sure I was in. But no, they told me no, and they told me they wanted me to wait for a little bit because I'd just come off of this really intense religious experience, and they wanted to make sure I wasn't on just a religious high, and it wasn't the only
thing.
Wisdom.
That's good advice.
Yeah. And it really was. And honestly, at first, I was really upset. You know, I thought, oh my gosh, God, I'm doing everything you want me to. I'm following you. I'm praying daily. This is what I'm supposed to be doing. I know it's what I'm supposed to be doing. And then you tell me no?
I mean, or he said wait.
That's what it took me a while to understand. Because at first I felt the no.
Yeah. Sure.
But after a while, talking to some priests about it, I really did feel God's not saying no yet. He's just saying, trust me. Do you trust me?
So
in my personal walk right now, that's the biggest thing I'm working on is do I trust God enough to say no to these little things that I want if I trust that it's going to make me a better person?
Yeah. He always answers our prayers. Three answers. Yes, no, not yet. That's the hardest that's one, isn't right. it? Yeah.
No, seriously, I think God's time is probably the hardest thing to wait for. It's never easy. So,
well, you're in our prayers.
I really appreciate it. I could use all of them I can get.
Got to be proud, Dad.
I am. I mean, it's been a pleasure. And as you know, anybody, there's a lot of folks out there that had the blessing of raising kids. But it is an amazing thing to watch Brock and now his couple brothers, Thomas and Augusta, underneath him, and just watching young men now and having, I think, a greater confidence, not in my own parenting. I think I'm more humble than ever before about my inability to be the father I want to be, but with the church, with our devotion to Our Lady, and just entrust them to our Lord through her hands and just leave the results. And we're thrilled with what God's done so far.
Thanks, Brock, for joining us.
Ryan, I really appreciate it. Thank
you. We'll pray for you. And, of course, you've given us a great insight into Christian life on the college campus.
Thank you.
These guys get the last word in the end zone next here on Crossing the Goal. We hope you'll stay with us. In the end zone now, and we're getting the last word from our Crossing the Goal team members on Christian life in college, beginning with Peter.
Thanks very much, Brian. You know, thinking about where to send your young daughter or son to college is a very important question to answer. In my mind, as I was listening to Curtis earlier, I thought, you know, oranges don't grow on the North Pole. We've got to find an environment to encourage our young people to grow and go to, because when they're there and they're planted, that environment will help do what we can no longer do for them. It'll help strengthen their faith and take it to the next level.
Great word. I think you're right on. I'm always struck by the very last words of Old Testament prophecy. In a certain sense, there's a couple hundred years after the last prophet Malachi, before John the Baptist comes and says, "Repent, the kingdom of God is at hand." The very last words of Malachi are telling. He says this, Malachi 4, Chapter 4, verse 5. "Behold, I'm going to send you Elijah the prophet before the coming of the great and terrible day of the Lord, and he will restore the hearts of fathers to their children and the hearts of children to their fathers, lest I come and smite the land with a curse." This relationship is so important. I can tell you, someone that you just learned, it hasn't been the father he'd love to be. I'm so grateful to have a son I do.
We have parents out there that are thinking, you know, did I do the good job? You know, what you do is you try to do the best. You raise your kids, and then somewhere along the line, you let them go on to college or whatever, but you got to trust. Trust that what you taught them will bear benefits down the road, as Curtis and Brock brought that to your attention. So what we do is just never stop parenting. It's an ongoing, no matter, I've got them into 40 years old and still trying to parent. So you never give up parenting, guys.
Well, Brock is on a good path, and time will tell where the good Lord is leading him. Thanks, Coach, Curtis, Peter. We appreciate you. Coming up next time on Crossing the Goal, we're going to talk about Christian life in the military with retired Marine Chris Peterson. We hope you'll join us then here on Crossing the Goal.